Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain.
Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. I get to have a repeat guest today that I am really thrilled. The last time he came on, I was so just encouraged. I'd never heard of him before, and I have told so many people about him ever since that episode because it just deeply impacted my life. And so Addison Bevere, he has a new prayer journal that goes along with the book that we did the podcast episode on. It's called Words with God Prayer Journal. And I just have to tell you, Addison, this just came to my mind as we were saying this. Someone asked me the other day, they said, what was one of your very favorite guests that you've had on the podcast? And your name came to mind almost immediately. And wow. I shared with them and I was telling them how I just was so deeply impacted by this, just your fire for the Lord and how much you just love Jesus and it just oozed out of you. And so to get to have you back on again is a true honor. So thank you so much. This prayer journal, I have started going through it myself and I feel like I pray every morning. I actually usually pray as I'm driving to the gym and I have this kind of like sequence that I pray through. But this has been so good for me because it's that stopping and like really checking in with my heart and really listening. Tell us more about just this process that you have in here because I feel like it's probably been really life-changing for you.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you. That's so gracious of you. And Crystal, for me, this really comes out of me believing that I'm terrible at prayer. And if you look at the data, virtually everyone thinks they're bad at prayer, thinks that there's something about prayer that they just don't understand, or they're doing it wrong, or they're not doing it enough. And what I find is that the enemy of our souls really wants us to engage prayer from a place of performance, and he uses shame to get us to withdraw from that place of knowing and being known, which is really the gift of prayer. And we know that any relationship where shame is the predominant emotion, that relationships going to have its issues on so many levels. And so for me, when I think about prayer, I try to go back to the purpose of prayer. And if we look at the garden, right? So going back to the very beginning of the story, you have this account of people walking with God in the cool of the day, and they're receiving wisdom at the pace of relationship, at the frequency of connection. But then what they asked for, what they chose, was they wanted knowledge of good and evil. They wanted the what, why, when, where, how do I do it, where do I do it, on their own terms. So they grasped for something rather than being grasped by God. And I think to this day, when it comes to prayer, we think of prayer, we still think of prayer as speaking, as words, when in truth, prayer is more about listening than it is about speaking. It's more about presence than it is about performance. It's more about getting in on what God is doing and less about what we're not doing. Even like an instruction like 1 Thessalonians 5:17, which says, pray without ceasing. In the Greek, it's actually an invitation to pray from a place of constant rest. So it's not like I'm frantic, I'm trying to do everything, I'm trying to say everything, I'm trying to always have the right heart posture. It's like, no, actually, it's this rest that allows us to open our eyes and see the reality of what is happening and engage accordingly. And it's so easy. The enemy of our soul, he likes to make us the hero or the villain of prayer. And we vacillate between the two. He's like, I did the right things. Why isn't God responding the way I thought he was going to respond? Or, of course, God's not going to show up in my life. I'm not enough. I don't do enough. And so we go back and forth. We're the hero, maybe very small percentage of the time. And we're the villain the majority of the time because we feel like we're not doing enough. Rather than just viewing prayer as this place where we get to participate with God in a way that opens our eyes to what is most real about life. And that for me is the gift of prayer, is participating in a relational connection with God where our eyes are open and we see what is most real about life.
So many things that I want to unpack, but you were talking about rest, and that is something that God's really been working on me this year. I actually, I cut way back my work hours this year and really am practicing the discipline of rest, which I never thought of as a spiritual discipline. And our pastor was preaching a sermon, it was a number of months ago, but he was talking about rest as a spiritual discipline. And so you were talking about prayer and rest. And I feel like that's a very counter Christian cultural thought pattern. Would you say that that's accurate? I mean, I feel like we think of like laboring in prayer, which I mean, I do think that there is that in scripture, but I think praying from this space of rest, what does that look like for you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Crystal, I think it really starts in the morning. And I know even when I say that, maybe people hear that and be like, oh man, I've tried the whole quiet time thing. I've tried to pray and I start praying. I get bored or I fall asleep or I start thinking about what I need to do during the day. Or I try to read scripture, but I don't really understand it. And it's boring. It feels stale. And so they withdraw. And then the idea of quiet time before God in the morning, it becomes a place of shame and inadequacy. So let me try to reframe the mornings, what I mean by that. There's a Psalm, Psalm 5, verse 3. David says, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I prepare a sacrifice for you and I watch. Just before this, in the two verses before, he's actually complaining to God. He's saying, give attention to my groans. Like, where are you in my life? He's having messy words with God. And one of the things about prayer that I love telling people is that prayer isn't about having the right words. Prayer is about getting real with God. And when we get real with God, God becomes real to us. And Jesus, even Matthew 6, when he gives the Lord's Prayer, he specifically says, don't act like the pagans and don't act like the hypocrites who think that based on their performance, based on their lofty words, based on their many words, they're currying favor from God. Like, no, that's actually not how this works. And so David says, in the morning, I prepare this sacrifice for you. And Crystal, in our world today, when I think about the currency of our day, it's attention. And you know this as a mom with kids who immediately come and they're asking for attention. They need things. We live in a world where there are demands, whether it's work, whether it's family, whether it's just the cares of this world, vicarious trauma that we carry the moment we open our phone and we start scrolling. Whatever it is, there's a lot that is demanding our attention. And if you look at the money that is spent for attention, it's unreal. And so I love this principle of the morning, and health and wellness experts, they're leaning into this too, of not when we first wake in the morning, giving our attention to our phone. So if you wake in the morning and you pick up your phone and you get on your phone within 5 minutes of waking, which is what the majority of people do, a lot of people even sleep with their phone in their bed. What happens is the moment you wake up, when you come out of that sleep state, you're in something called theta state. Now, are you familiar with this concept?
No. Okay. Tell me about this.
So when you wake in the morning, and so this isn't just theological, it's neurological, right? So, and it's therapeutic. So we're going to weave a few disciplines together right here. When you wake in the morning, your brain is in what's called theta state. And that has to do with the speed of your brain waves. In this place, you are more receptive to both what's happening without and what's happening within. So you're more aware of your soul story. You're more aware of those things that are repressed that you haven't been able to articulate. That's why sometimes when people wake in the morning, they understand something right away. When they wake up, they're like, oh, that makes sense now. Now I know what I need to do. It's a unique state. And the reason is because when you are in deep sleep during the night, your brain is in something called delta state. Now, delta state is that place where you are unconscious. So you're actually not dreaming in delta state. You are completely out. And your body is doing things that you cannot do in your own strength or in your own power. You are generating growth hormones. You are regulating your limbic system. So trauma recovery, stuff like that, all of that is happening in delta state. It is a synthesis of emotions, understanding, experiences. All of that is happening while we sleep. The poet Wendell Berry, he says something so beautiful. He says, sleep is the prayer the body prays. Mm-hmm. So there's something happening. And guess what? We're not doing anything. But when we wake in the morning, there's a sensitivity that I firmly believe God designed us to have where we can be aware of what was happening while we were asleep. And so we can receive the benefits that were happening. We can be grasped by those benefits, not grasping for them, being in control. We can be grasped by them in a way where our understanding shifts as we move into the day. So when you wake in the morning, your reticular activating system, your RAS, which is the gatekeeper of consciousness, it tells you what to look for. It essentially, like that phenomenon of when you choose to buy a car, you start to notice that car everywhere, that is your RAS. Your RAS is very sensitive first thing in the morning. So when you wake and you immediately grab your phone and you start scrolling, those algorithms, they're not trying to leverage your peace. They're trying to generate angst, anger, fear, these things that would lead you to destructive behaviors. And instead of transitioning from that place of knowing and being known and that place of rest and sleep, people immediately move into frantic, what I call frantic inaction. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing they can really do about it. And then they wonder why they move straight into their day already feeling depleted. And so I've been on this whole kick, and a lot of people have gotten aboard. I've been doing this for years where I will not touch my cell phone for at least an hour after waking up. It's in a different room in my house, because that theta state can last for 5 to 15 minutes. And then you move into alpha state, which is a time of profound creativity and understanding too. And that can last hour, 15 minutes. And women in particular have this gift. It happens for men too. But have you ever noticed that phenomenon when you get into the shower and then all of a sudden, like, things just start to make sense? Mm-hmm. Ideas, you're more sensitive to a voice that maybe extends beyond your own voice. That's because your body is going from beta state, which is that frantic state of the scroll of moving through our day, back to alpha state. And so there's a sensitivity to possibility. And so all of that, that movement, God designed us to be receptive to Him in the morning. And when people hear that, they're like, wait, what? Oh, wait, what do I do? And like, actually, no, the key isn't what do you do? The key is what do you don't do? And so I tell them, when you wake, take a deep breath and just say, like, I am here. And rest and just see what starts happening and see how that guides you throughout your day. And in my experience, like, I've never experienced a habit that's been more transformative in my life than that.
Mm, that's so good. So encouraging to me. So 2 years ago, I started studying circadian rhythm. And as a result of that, I basically do this, no screens before sunlight. And now I've been getting up at 4 because I have a 5 a.m. gym class that I go to. And so I don't do it perfectly because I need my phone to like get into the gym and that sort of thing. But really trying to like stay off social media, not be checking anything, and just I don't turn on lights in the morning. That's the other thing. Like, yeah. I have like a red light, and that just, there's something about that where you're like waking up, like slowly waking your body up, that has been so, I feel like it does something for you, that you're not just immediately like turning on your blue light and scrolling, but you're slowly waking up and then spending time reading God's word. And, and I feel like just the practice of that it's just like slows your system down. There's just something for me that has been really, really cathartic and restorative to start my day like that.
Yeah. I mean, I agree, Chris. I had a situation recently because, especially, you know, I have 4 kids and their ages 9 to 16. There's always things going on. And I lead a company that's a global company, and there's all sorts of stuff happening there. And so there's always something on my mind, something that I need to take care of. And I think I shared with you last time, I dealt with insomnia for 5 years. And I thought insomnia was all about how I went to bed. So I would try to optimize how I went to sleep at night. I actually experienced relief from insomnia when I changed how I woke in the morning.
Interesting.
And if you think about it, you can't control how you go to sleep, mm-hmm. but you can surrender how you wake. Mm. And so that's changed for me when I started waking differently. And that's what the psalmist David's getting at there. He says, I prepare a sacrifice for you and I watch. Like, I can see the world different. My attention, how it engages reality, it's different. And so I had a situation a few weeks ago where a dear friend of ours lost her husband. Mm. And we knew he was going to pass any day. And, you know, I was talking to her that night, and I knew it was probably going to happen during the evening. I went to bed, woke up in the morning, probably around 5:40. And I wanted to grab my phone because I knew there were going to be text messages, calls, and something in me was like, I had to be a good friend. I need to call her. And I just felt the Spirit of God, like, no, trust me. Like, you never lost a spouse. You actually don't know how to show up in this moment. I need you to be in my presence. I need you to be still. I don't want this to be a projection of your own fear and your own insecurities. I actually want you to receive from me. I want you to place your attention here with me, and then let's see what happens. So I did that, did my normal routine. And then about an hour and 15 minutes later, I went, I picked up my phone. Sure enough, text message at 2 a.m., 4 a.m., phone call at 5 a.m. And I felt like a pang of guilt. Like, man, like, why? But then I could just sense the Holy Spirit's like, call her. So I picked up my phone, called her. And Crystal, I showed up a different person for her in that moment than I would have. And I've seen this with my kids. I've seen this with my wife. I've seen this for my team members, for decisions that I need to make. It helps me discern what is urgent, what is important. It helps me understand what the day requires of me and what I need to set aside, because the enemy of our souls, he's terrified of us living in that pace of wisdom. And so he wants us frantic. He wants us projecting our fears and insecurities onto situations, complicating those situations. Whereas the Spirit of God, like, wants to give us clarity and courage to do the things that we need to do that day, and to trust him with those things that we can't do anything about today, you know?
So powerful. And I think, like, for me, it's like that filling myself up. Like, I need that, because you get it when you have so many different demands. And honestly, like, I hate to even use that word, because I do feel like when you fill yourself up and you start from that, like, sitting in the presence of the Lord, they no longer are demands. You know, it's like, it's opportunities.
Yeah.
But if you start out in your own strength, picking up your phone, like, oh, I gotta hustle and white knuckle my way through, like, all this stuff that's on my plate today, then it feels like demands.
It's so true. And if we're honest with ourselves, like, that idea of how our blessings become our burdens, the things that we pray for and that we hope for, we receive, and then we forget that we're living in an answered prayer. And then we forget that it's God's faithfulness that brought us into this moment. And then instead of placing our faith in God and his goodness and what he has promised, we try to place faith in what we can do. Or we lose faith because we realize our limitations. And when in truth, scripture tells us that God, he shows off through those surrendered limitations. Mm-hmm. So when I think about my life, and I think about moments where I knew I'd come to the end of myself, and I turned, and it was one of those guttural cries, like one of those prayers that were just so messy, where God showed up in a miraculous way, where there's no denying, like, this wasn't me. This wasn't my cleverness. This wasn't my ability to plan. Like, this was me being honest and creating space for God to show up. And Crystal, there's the phone, specifically the phone. We've never had something. And look, I'm not anti-phones, just for record. Like, I have a smartphone. I'm not anti-phones. But I have noticed that if I don't do this first thing in the morning, the way I manage my phone the rest of the day changes. And so I think the phone's a powerful tool. That being said, the phone creates this illusion of omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence. Never before have we, and especially with the advent of AI, right? Like, that's a whole nother level. But this idea of, hey, I can do all things. I can be all places. I can know all things. And it's caused us to feel hostage to what we hold in our hands. And the reality is, only God can function with the weightiness of omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence. But what's incredible is, as we surrender our limitations, as we're honest about them, we participate in God's power, and we start to know things and understand things that are beyond our knowledge. And it's not that we're grasping for them, or like we're in control and we're getting the answers, right? Think of, again, going back to the garden, the knowledge of good and evil. But we're, that posture surrenders, putting us in this place where we're grasped by God, where all of a sudden we understand things that we previously didn't understand. And it's like, we can't even figure out how we got here, but it's like, oh, but by the grace of God, now I'm a different father. I'm a different leader. I'm a different brother. I'm a different son. We start to see things and we understand things. And it just, it encourages us to go deeper. So I love that.
Well, and I think also for me, it's like starting my day from that, like, God, I need you, you know, that space. And then it's like, I don't have to do this in my own strength. Like, I don't have to carry this. I'm like laying it down at your feet. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for new to you styles. I have loved Armoire, and I have to tell you, one of the favorite things of Armoire for me has been that it can help you to define your personal style. I'm not someone who automatically just knows, oh, this and this and this goes together and will look great on my body type. I love how they pick items for you based upon your style, based upon your size, and then you get to look on there and be like, which one of these do I think I'd like to try out? You're not buying it, you're trying it. And so I've tried out a lot of different styles that I usually wouldn't because I'm just renting it. And here is the interesting thing. I have discovered some styles that I never would have, that I've fallen in love with. In fact, I have a pair of overalls and a pair of jeans that I have gotten from Armoire that became part of my wardrobe that I kept because I loved them so, so much. And to this day, I wear that pair of jeans multiple times a week, and I wear that pair of overalls. If you follow me on Instagram, you know the pair of overalls I'm talking about, but probably once or twice every single week. And so this helps you to be able to try some new things without spending the money on them that you typically would, because they're such high quality products. And if you don't like it, if it doesn't work for your body type, if it doesn't work for your style, you can send it right back. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 60% off their first month. That's up to $150 off. Just visit armoire.style/crystal. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/crystal, to get up to 60% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
When I'm praying in the morning, I pray for each of my kids and just kind of take a little moment to just like sit with, you know, just praying for them. And so often in that space, God will remind me like, hey, you need to circle back around to that conversation yesterday, or they have this thing going on today that you need to ask them about. Like, it just, it feels like you feel so many promptings from the Holy Spirit that I wouldn't have if I didn't have that stillness of just like sitting before the Lord and giving him the burdens that I'm carrying for the people in my life. And, but then it's like, you get to go throughout your day really eagerly anticipating how God's going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like when you start your day, you know, there's a lot of times where it's like, God, there's this, what feels really heavy this morning. And I don't know how to have that conversation or to walk with that person or to help my child who's struggling or my spouse or whatever. And giving it to the Lord and inviting him and asking him to walk with you in that. And then you'll see God show up in these ways, like you're saying, where you're just like, that was not me. Like, that was not me. Yeah. I can tell you so many times where God has prompted me to ask a question of a child and I will be like, okay. Just the other day, a child was walking out the door and it was that prompting, like, to ask them this question. And I did, and they gave me this really funny face and I was like, what? And then they're like, this whole thing came out that really needed to come out, like, right then before they were going to this situation that had they, you know, we not talked through that, it could have been a really bad thing. And I was just like, thank you, Jesus. Like, that was not me. That was nothing to do with me. And that was all you prompting me. But I feel like being in that space of really relying upon the Holy Spirit, then you get to just see God show up in such powerful ways.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And I think, Crystal, I think that's the greatest gift. Like, that idea of being able to see. And no, I think about what Isaiah 50 verse 4 says, you have, morning by morning, you awaken me. You give me the tongue of one who is taught, so I can sustain with a word the one who is weary. And it's the idea, like, there's weary people around us. And if we're trying to carry the weight of being God, we're not going to be able to see their weariness and speak into it in a way that extends the presence of God, because we're caught in what I call the self-conscious loop. Mm. And so instead of actually seeing that person, what we're seeing is we're seeing the projection of our own self-consciousness into that situation, which actually clouds the reality of the situation. And I mean, I've seen that with my kids, particularly my son, my oldest son. God's had to show me, like, Addison, that's actually not Asher. That's you projecting your own insecurities based on your experience when you were his age, or even based on your process right now as a son, because I'm still a son of God in the season that I'm in. And so you hit it. I love the way you just described that, how when you're praying, because I mean, that is what I'm describing with this journal and the format, is this idea of it's space to listen. And I know it's hard for people to just like sit. So that there's structure here that helps them, but I don't want a formula. I want a framework, right? Because the framework creates space for God to meet with us in a way that reflects our individuality. But that idea of I'm sitting with this, I'm waiting, I'm listening, I'm being quick to hear, slow to speak. And then as that prompt comes, then when you speak words, they're words of conviction and authority. Like, you're not just trying to work something up or manufacture something that you should pray or should say, like whether it's a friend who comes to mind or it's a situation. And one of the things I put in the journal, one of the sections is rest. I challenge us to write down any thought that is keeping us from entering into rest. Capture and release it here. There's a place for that. And I think people, when it comes to this time in the morning, they think, oh man, if I'm having this thought or that thought, or if I'm thinking about my day, then I'm not doing the right things. Like, no, actually, that is a part of surrendering the day. As that comes forward, you articulating it, you processing it with God, you resting before you move, that sacrifice of attention, oh my goodness, how it changes what we see throughout the day, both biologically, neurologically, and theologically, it's incredible.
I love that exercise so much, because I feel like that. Well, side note, like, I'm working with a functional medicine doctor right now. And one of the things she said is that I'm not in tune with my body. Like, I just have gone at 150% for years, and I don't even know how to slow down. And so that's the exercises that we're working on this year, is like learning to slow down, like learning to stop and have space for quiet in my day. Like, even just to eat lunch and not be working. Like, I was like, you can do that. But this exercise that you had in this journal was so good, because I feel like stopping to acknowledge, but first, like, take inventory of like, what am I holding on to, carrying? Like, what feels heavy? Like, what is keeping me from resting in Jesus? And that has been so helpful. Like, just stopping to do that is really powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things. If we bring those to him, it's in the articulation that we become aware. And there's a part of us, Chris, I think we're scared of actually like writing it down or giving it a name. But I mean, there's a saying, if you can name it, you can manage it. And I'm not saying it's about us managing it, but there is something powerful about giving it language, even if the language isn't perfect. What I have found, it may start the language, like my articulation of that pain or that fear or that anxiety or whatever that is, as I start to write it, man, it's like, is that really? Okay, that's kind of what it is. But the next time, it's even clearer. And then it becomes more clear and more clear and more clear. And I think the enemy of our souls, he's terrified of us moving down that path of release. And so he tries to cage us into all this like religious rhetoric and structure and stuff, instead of moving into that place of being known as we truly are.
And keep us really busy scrolling on our phones so that we don't take that time and that space. I mean, that was the thing, like every day when I get to that question, I'm like, what am I carrying? And I just really feel like so often I don't take time to even pay attention. And so then I just keep holding on to it, not even recognizing that it's this big baggage that I'm just pulling around with me and haven't given to the Lord.
Yeah. And we all have that. And so none of us, like, we don't graduate from that. Like, that is the human experience, right? So anxiety, what we feel, like, where it feels like anxiety, like, that's like, we're fragile creatures. Like, so that's a part of the human experience. Now, what's powerful about anxiety is that it's an intention locator. And so for me, when I start feeling anxious, I ask myself, what has my attention? And then I'm honest about, okay, what are the cares? What are the concerns? What are the things in my world? And I start to write it down. And I'm like, okay, God, these are the things that only you, like, this is so far beyond me. I don't even know where to start with this. So I'm giving this to you, and it's an exercise for me. And I ask for the grace and the wisdom to know how to navigate that. And then there's also some things where they're just in my head. Like, things that I need to do, or things that a step that I need to take. Maybe I'm less comfortable having that conversation or making that decision. And there's something in me that's like, hey, actually, you know what? There's a stirring that says you need to make that decision. So for me, writing it down helps me discern too. Okay, what is something that I need to give attention to, because God's asked me to take a step of faith and to be obedient, and I'm not, and the Spirit is actually quickening me, and it feels uncomfortable. Because I think there's a danger of, like, anything that is uncomfortable is bad. But no, we know that discomfort is a place of growth. Now, there's healthy pain, unhealthy pain, but that's a place of growth and opportunity. But there's a right way to navigate that and a wrong way. Mm. And something like this helps us discern, okay, what is the voice of God wooing me, calling me forward? And it doesn't sound like condemnation, but it does sound like, hey, I've got you. Take a step. Watch how I guide you as you step. And then that other voice is like, you'll never show up. Mm. Like, you'll never be enough. You can't do this. And that's, of course, the voice of the accuser. Mm.
I love how you keep it so simple. This is not, you know, you don't need to have 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. I think, especially for the busy women who are listening, who are thinking, well, you know, one, I don't know how to pray. And two, like, I don't have time to pray. And I feel like we don't have time not to pray. Like, first off, if you don't have time to pray, you don't have time to live. But also, this is so simple. And I love how you, like you said, it's a framework. It's not a formula. It's a framework, and really guiding people through. And some days it's like, I had 5 minutes and I could do it in 5 minutes, but there was something that the process did for my soul that was so just really thought-provoking and really helpful, and then to help me to pray from that place of awareness. And so I just really, really appreciate you putting this framework together. And also the book, I feel like people need to read the book Words with God as well, then get the journal to really go through this and keep buying more journals, because you're going to want to do it again. It's 40 days of getting real with God, but you're just going to want to buy another one so that you can keep going through it, because we all need, it's not like, oh, at the end of 40 days, I'm good. I've got it.
Yeah. I still need to get real with God. Mm-hmm. And I've experienced that. But thank you, Crystal. And this, for me, when I was writing this, for me, it was, okay, what is my journey look like? Mm. Like, if I'm going to create a journal, God, what are the things that have been so transformative for me and have shifted my understanding of your closeness and your goodness in prayer? Because as I mentioned at the very beginning, I used to think I was the worst person at prayer. And now I have such a passion for prayer. Like, living prayer is my passion. Mm-hmm. You talk to me for more than 5 minutes, I'm going to start talking about prayer. But it's not that transactional, stiff, performative, religious prayer. It is this invitation into a way of living where we actually experience the presence of God. You know, the great promise of Scripture is Emmanuel, God with us. Mm-hmm. That's why Jesus looks at his disciples and generations to come in John 14, 15, 16, and says, it's better for you that I go away. Because during this season, you having me, there's still this external dynamic where the truth lives outside of you. But when and he says, there's so much I want to tell you, but you can't grasp it or you can't bear it. He says, but when my Spirit comes, my Spirit will take these truths, and there will be a connectedness inside of you by the power of the Spirit that will open your eyes to things that you otherwise couldn't see. And for Jesus, the thing that would keep us from enjoying that life of connectedness is a religious spirit. Mm. Because the religious spirit essentially tells God, like, God, this is how you function. Do it my way. And if everyone else doesn't do it my way, they're doing it wrong. And Jesus had a lot of hard words for the people who embodied that position. And so for me, I want to see people come alive to the reality of that closeness and connectedness in the presence of God. But then it extends into the presence of the people in our world. So it's not just about us and us feeling better or us knowing what to do, what to not do. It goes back to what Jesus said. What are the greatest commandments? Love God and love others. And so that is for us. Like, prayer is actually that intersection where we love God and we live with this awareness mm-hmm. of what it looks like to love others. And that's my hope for people as they engage this 40-day journey.
Mm. Well, thank you so much for all the time and the effort that you put into writing this, but then also just living this out and impacting so many people. And I just think of so many women I talk to who long for that closeness with the Lord and saying, I don't know how to get there. And I feel like that you have provided this tool that is this framework for people who really want to deepen their relationship with the Lord and don't know how to go about it, that your book and this journal, Words with God, the prayer journal, 40 Days of Getting Real with God, will be so, so beneficial for them. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.